Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like you didn't have enough experience or the right skill set? Of course you have. We all have. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue with this new series on the book of Jonah called The Manifestation of Your Life Mission, Pastor Rick shows us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to, we don't have to run away from it. Why don't you invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how to live according to the purpose and plan He has for us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can order a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or just by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called What to Do When It Feels Hopeless.
Crying out to God in the Bible is the word called lamenting. Lamenting. A crying out to God is called a lament. A lament is a synonym for a complaint. You say, wait a minute, it's okay to complain to God? Of course it's okay to complain to God. God wants you to complain to Him because He loves you. He's interested in every detail of your life. Yes, it's okay to complain to God. God, I don't like this. This is terrible. This is not right. This is not fair. That's called lamenting. And did you know that in the book of Psalms, which are personal prayers to God, there are 150 of those. They're not all praise. They're not all sunshiny, happy, clappy, the sun will come out tomorrow kind of thing. One third of the Psalms of the Bible, 100 of the 150, 50 of them are complaints. 50 of them are laments. Going, God, this is not fair. God, you lied to me. God, this stinks. God, that's called lamenting. Now, the best books on lamenting in the Bible are the book of Job, the book of Lamentations, which are the laments of Jeremiah. He was the complaining prophet. Lamentations, Job, and the book of Psalms. And David laments. They cry out. There's an entire book of the Bible full of complaints. It's called Lamentations, the laments of God. So yes, it's okay for you to complain to God because God cares about your laments. God cares about the pain that you have. You know, He far would rather have you complain than for you to say some little polite prayer that you memorized. He doesn't care about that. He wants to know what's on your heart. I could give you example after example how God answers the prayers of people in pain when they pray passionately. Good example would be Hannah. Hannah, all of her life, had wanted to have a baby, but she was infertile. She couldn't have a child. And she prays this prayer. Look up here on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 1. By the way, Samuel ended up being her son. That was the answer to this prayer, who became a very famous prophet. 1 Samuel chapter 1. So he's telling this story about his mom. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. I've wanted to have a baby. I've wanted to have a baby. I've wanted to have a baby, and I haven't had a baby. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. She's lamenting. And she made this vow, oh Lord, Almighty, if you will look down upon my sorrow and you'll answer my prayer and you'll give me a son, then I will give him back to you and he will be yours for his entire lifetime. And she did. And that boy grew up to be the Samuel of 1 Samuel. This is the prophet who ordained the first king of Israel, Saul, ordained David. He wrote 1 and 2 Samuel in the Bible. This was Hannah's son. She's crying out bitterly. God hears her prayer. So when you're in trouble and you're feeling hopeless, the first thing you do is you look up. You look up to God. You pray. Second thing you do is you pray passionately. You don't just say, oh, God, I'd kind of like to have this. You cry out to God. This is what Jonah's doing. He's not praying perfunctory prayers. This is no polite request. This is a gut-wrenching prayer. So if you don't get anything else I tell you, I want you to get this. It really doesn't matter where you pray. You know, a lot of people think they have to go into a church and kneel down to pray. God doesn't care where you pray. Peter prayed while he's sinking in the water, and all kinds of people prayed in wars and battles and all kinds. It doesn't matter where you pray. What matters is your heart when you're praying. I want to read you a poem. It's over 100 years old. It's by a guy named Sam Foss. It's called The Prayer of Farmer Brown. The proper way for one to pray, said Pastor Samuel Keyes, is to humble yourself before the Lord and get down on your knees. No, I say that the way to pray, said Pastor David Wise, is to stand up straight with outstretched arms and eyes turned to the skies. Oh, no, 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 said Pastor Slow. That posture is too proud. We should all pray with eyes closed tight and heads contritely bowed. Well, I believe your hands should be gently clasped in front with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Pastor Johnny Blunt. But last year I fell into a well head first, said Farmer Brown. Both of my feet were sticking up and my head was pointing down. Yet in my distress, I called out to God with the most honest words I've said. Yes, the best prayers I've ever prayed was standing on my head. It doesn't matter how you are. Now, I wrote a few extra verses. I added these. Then Jonah said, these all may be true for each one of you. So use whichever one you wish. But as for me, my best prayer came in the belly of a fish. It was dark and wet and cold and scary, but my prayers raced like a comet. They streaked across the sky to God, and he made that big fish vomit. So when and how and where you pray are matters of private fashion. Just be sure that when you pray, you present your needs with passion. All right? I think I'll stick to preaching, not poetry, okay?
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. You can call us at 800-600-5004 right now or go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
All right, here's the third thing you do. When you are feeling hopeless, you're going to need this someday. You better write this down. Identify the cause of my hopelessness. Identify the cause of my hopelessness. Hopelessness is a vague feeling, and you can't deal with a vague feeling. You can't work with a problem. You can't solve a problem. You can't even pray about a problem until you identify the problem. You got to identify it. You got to identify the cause of my hopelessness. You can't counteract a feeling unless you name it. Have you ever had a general vague feeling of uneasiness and you're feeling down, you're feeling hopeless, and you go, I don't know why I feel this way. I don't know why. Well, you can't work on it until you name it. When you name the feeling, that in itself helps you get a handle on it. Anything you can't name is already out of control in your life. So if you got this vague feeling of depression or vague feeling of down or discouragement or vague feeling of hopelessness, you need to stop and go, what's really going on here? What's behind this? You need to pinpoint the source. And this is what Jonah did. You know, years ago, I did a study of what causes people to lose hope. And I discovered, I read extensively, literally, everything I could possibly read on hopelessness. And I discovered that there are about 10 common causes of hopelessness. Hopelessness isn't the problem. The problem is what's causing the hopelessness in your life. And it's interesting, as I read Jonah's vivid description of what's going through his mind as he's sinking down and he's praying this prayer, and he's sinking below the waves and he's swallowed by that fish, I discovered he illustrates a bunch of those common causes of hopelessness. So for your benefit, I just want to point them out. I want to read through part of Jonah's prayer, and I want us to pick out causes of hopelessness, because then you'll know, oh, this is what's really making me feel bad. It's not this vague sense of hopelessness. You can't work on it until you name it, all right? So let me read you verse 3-6 in Jonah chapter 2. Jonah, this is his prayer. You, God, cast me into the deep water, and I sank to the bottom of the sea. Everything was churning around me, and I was engulfed by powerful waves that overwhelmed me. Then I thought, I've been banished from God's presence, and I'll never get to see your holy temple again. I was scared to death, afraid I was drowning, with water choking me and the seaweed wrapped all around my head. This is pretty graphic. I kept sinking down to, you know, the ocean floor, to the mountains that rise off the ocean floor. And I felt locked in a prison forever. Now, in that passage, he gives us 8 common causes of hopelessness. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these, but I want you to check any one of these that you may be feeling right now, because this could be a precursor to depression or hopelessness in your life, okay? So here are 8 feelings that cause us to feel hopeless. And Jonah mentions them all. Number one, first, feeling I'm in over my head. Feeling that I'm in over my head. You know, when you feel like I don't have, my situation exceeds my knowledge. My situation exceeds my ability. The situation exceeds my finances. I'm in over my head. I've been thrown into the deep end. Jonah says, you cast me into the deep water. He's saying, I'm way out of my depth. I'm in too deep. I'm in deep trouble. When you feel like you're in over your head, that's going to cause you to feel hopeless. Number two, feeling I've hit bottom can cause hopelessness. Feeling I've hit bottom. I sank to the bottom of the sea. He said, there was no way I could go any lower. I was at an all-time low. And that when you feel you can't go any lower, when you feel I have hit rock bottom, or the bottom fell out and I've gone even lower, I'm as low as you can go. I've hit bottom. That's going to cause hopelessness. Third feeling, Job says, feeling out of control and powerless. Feeling out of control and powerless. He says in the next phrase, everything was churning circle, that churning around me. You ever felt like that? Everything was churning around you. You feel out of control and you feel powerless to change anything. You're drifting without direction. You got motion without meaning. You got activity without clarity. You've got pressure without purpose. You're just drifting around. Everything's churning around me. I'm drifting around. I'm swept along by outside forces. You're all over the map. That's feeling out of control and powerless. Number four. Fourth thing, feeling overwhelmed. Feeling overwhelmed can cause you to be hopeless. I was engulfed, Jonah says, by powerful waves that overwhelmed me. I'm engulfed. That means I'm helpless to change it. I'm engulfed. The powerful is so powerful, I'm overwhelmed by it. Number five, feeling rejected or lonely. Either of these could cause you to feel hopeless. Feeling rejected or feeling, that's the real cause of the hopelessness, not the hopelessness. He says, then I thought, I've been banished from God's presence. Aloneness can cause hopelessness. Jonah's saying, I feel like God's a million miles away. I feel rejected. I feel on my own. I feel alone. That can cause hopelessness in your life. Number six, feeling remorse and regret. You can use this checklist with friends when you're helping them trying to figure out what's making them feel so bad. Feeling remorse or regret. Jonah says, and I'll never get to see your holy temple again. I'll never. He's filled with remorse. He's filled with regret. He knows the problem is his own fault. He was running from God. You can run from God, but then you can't run anymore. Because you can run, but you can't hide. On here on the screen, Psalm 42, verse 4, David says, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. That's a cause for hopelessness. My heart is breaking for remembering how it used to be. I feel remorse. I feel regret. I may feel guilt because it was so good, but I ran from God. I ran from God. And my heart's breaking as I remember how it used to be. Number seven, big cause of hopelessness, feeling crushing fear. Feeling crushing fear. Jonah says, I was scared to death. I was afraid. I was afraid I was drowning with water choking me and seaweed wrapped all around my head. Circle that word choking. Did you know that the word worry, the English word worry, comes from the old English word worgen? Do you know what worgen means? To choke, to strangle. Worry has a strangling, choking feeling on your life. It can choke the life. Anxiety, worry, fear can choke the life out of you. They can choke the hope out of you. Feeling crushing fear. And the eighth thing he says is, I was feeling trapped. I felt locked in a prison forever. Other translations say, I felt behind bars and somebody had thrown away the key. Now, as we go through that list, are you feeling any of these right now? Oh, I'm in over my head, I've hit bottom. Feel out of control, feel powerless, feel overwhelmed, feel lonely, feel rejected, feel remorse or regret, feel crushing fear, feel trapped. Only when you name what you're feeling, only when you identify what you're feeling, can you actually pray about it specifically. But once you know what's the cause of your hopelessness, then you can go to the next step. Number four. Here's number four. Ask God for specific help. Now you think, God, I'm feeling out of control. God, I'm feeling regret. I'm feeling remorse. God, I'm feeling fear. God, I'm feeling trapped. God, I'm feeling any of these things we just listed, you talk to God specifically about those things. Be specific. Jonah 2, verse 2, the second part, he says, from the deep, from deep in the world of the dead, I asked for help, and you listened to my cry. Now, that deep in the world of the dead could indicate that maybe he eventually died in that fish and was resurrected. We don't know. That's just a guess. Psalm 50, verse 15. God says, call to me in your times of trouble, and I will save you, and you will honor me. So, once I know what's the source, I've named what I'm really feeling. I just have this vague feeling of feeling bad. I know what's causing it. I know the thorn. Then I begin to pray specifically. Now, here's the key to asking for help. I want you to write this down. Pray the word of God. Write this down. Pray the word of God. What do I mean by that? I mean, take scripture and say them back to God. This is what Jonah did to get his miracle. Jonah clearly is well versed in the Bible, because in this very short prayer, he prays 8 different scriptures.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In his book called God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick draws simple but profound truths from the Bible, which give you practical guidance for specific types of change. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own, because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. That's why I've written a little book called God's Power to Change Your Life. It's a really practical guide for making positive, practical, and lasting changes in your life. And how do you do it? By letting God work through you. Now, you and I both know there are a lot of good self-help books out there that they'll tell you the right thing to do, how to, you know, break bad habits and how to set good habits and all these great things. But they are missing the most important part. They don't give you the power to change your life. That power only comes from God. You can't get it out of a book. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why this month I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written, when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life. Thanks a lot for listening today, and thanks for helping support Daily Hope. We love you, we thank God for you, and we hope you'll continue to listen to this broadcast as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com with 2 R's in the middle. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.